Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend, devoid of stress and filled with love and laughter and life, and the Packers winning their final preseason game and making a trade late Sunday evening, which I'm sure everyone has read about, heard about. The Packers just made it official a little bit before I went live here. Darren Kennard being sent to the Packers for a 2027 sixth round pick. Not even 2026, 2027 sixth round pick. What does Howie know about the 2027 draft that we don't? That's what I want to know. But regardless, the Packers bringing in offensive line depth, which I don't think anybody should be surprised at after watching the Packers this summer, both on the practice field and particularly in the preseason. Certainly very clear that they needed to raise the floor in that room talent-wise. Kennard has played in three games throughout his short time in the NFL, started one last year for the Eagles in the finale when they rested their starters. He played against the Giants. And as many people have noted, he has three Super Bowl rings. The guy only knows championships. So clearly coming to Green Bay to win another one. Obviously, this probably bodes somewhat poorly for a guy, the guys along the interior, whether it's a Donovan Jennings, maybe a Jacob Monk, probably eases that transition to possibly putting Monk on IR, something along those lines. But he has played tackle as well. He fits the mold of a Packers offensive lineman in the sense that he is definitely position versatile, has played both guard and tackle, a bit unlike a lot of their kind of targets along the offensive line. Athletically, his RIS score is sitting just above 5, I believe, which is, again, pretty unusual for the Packers, but he is a guy that they had in the door as for a pre-draft meeting back in 2022. I've seen a lot of speculation over the course of like last 24 hours since the news became public last night about, oh, it's because so-and-so got hurt, or it's because of this player. I don't think it has anything to do or is in response to any one situation, specifically, certainly not. I don't think, because, Aaron Banks is dealing with a back injury or something like that. I think it's much more about seeing the totality of the work from the offensive line throughout the preseason and training camp and understanding that what they have on offer is just not up to snuff. And the idea being you need to get better. And not specifically because that player or this player hasn't lived up to expectations, though you put them all together and you certainly come to the conclusion that they're not developing the way they had hoped, whether it is a Donovan Jennings, whether it is a Jacob Monk, even maybe Anthony Belton not being as far along as far as being able to play tackle in the NFL that maybe they had hoped coming out of his first summer. I think it all adds to the mix and the idea of Gutekunst and company. And hey, shout out Richmond Williams. This would be his purview, right? Pro personnel. Taking a gander and a look across the league and honing in on a guy that they think can come in and help, again, raise that talent floor. And to that point, speaking of Richmond Williams, I feel really good whenever they go and get a veteran player who has played in the league and has tape out there. If they target a player like that, whether it is via trade or free agency or, yes, getting them off a practice squad somewhere, if they're bringing them in the door after a couple years in the league, I feel really good about the acquisition. So, of course, everyone misses every once in a while, but on balance, Richmond and that pro personnel group have done phenomenal work. So very excited to see Kennard on the sideline for the whole year because everyone's going to stay healthy and they'll never need him. So can't wait to see him on Ray Nitschke Field next summer. Are you all doing it, everybody? Good to see everybody in the chat, mixing it up. You guys know, we got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the Cheesehead TV homepage or indeed in the description of this video. don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. You know you want to. Hell, get your Lions tickets right now. Can you believe that the next time we see them on the field, they're going to be playing the Lions in a regular season game? Man, summer just flies by. Training camp, preseason, gone. Which I actually kind of love because, gosh knows, we need to get some real football going here. All right, let's get to your questions and comments, starting with Connor Church. Thank you so much for the super chat. Nags, what does press conference schedule look like for reporters? Is an email sent to reporters? How do open locker rooms work? I've always wondered. It's a very good question, man. Yes, it is an email that you get usually from Tom and the PR group, though it can change from time to time throughout the year. And you get a schedule for the week more often than not. Sometimes things change and they have to adjust things. You get more emails, and sometimes you do get notice right before something happens, less than 24 hours, which is never fun, but you're kind of at their mercy in that regard. But yes, especially in season, it is pretty regular as far as you get the email shortly after the game, like a couple hours after the game, they'll set the week schedule and you'll get an email in your inbox telling you when LaFleur is going to be available, when the locker room will be open for the media, and when the coordinators talk and things like that throughout the week. And when practice is available for the local guys to go and watch and essentially take attendance early in the practice. And then as far as open locker room, you know, you, like I said, you've got the time and they open the locker room. There's a sign that says, you know, the locker room is now open to reporters. You can go in, and essentially a vast majority of the time is spent standing around waiting for guys to be available or even just show up. A lot of times the most frustrating thing is, like, this probably happens to me more than maybe some of the other folks on the beat, but I'll have a very specific question for a very specific guy about a play that I saw on the field at practice. And so I'm waiting for that one guy. And of course, during my time in Green Bay, a lot of times it'll be the one time that guy doesn't show up to the media portion of locker room. And some guys do avoid it. There's no doubt about that. And they have every right if they desire until the season starts. But there's a lot of waiting around, and then reporters will approach guys and say, do you have a few minutes, or can I ask you about this XYZ? And, you know, more often than not, you're not supposed to interrupt if someone's got a one-on-one. There have been maybe not fisticuffs, but there have been blows, some upset natures in the past over this breach of etiquette at times. A lot of times you'll see a lot of the TV folks kind of descend on one dude suddenly if he had a big catch at practice or a big play in the game or whatever. You can usually follow the lights and the TV reporters for that guy getting a lot of attention and or time on camera. But really, there's just a kind of a, I want to say, a 30-minute swath of time where you're just able to go up and talk to anybody you want to. And like I said, that happens pretty regularly throughout the week, and you get that schedule at the start of the week. And every once in a while it's changed, but for the most part, that's how it goes all kind of 17, 18 weeks of the season. E4, what's up? Thanks for the super chat, man. The sooner the Bears build a new stadium, the sooner the Packers can win a Super Bowl in it. Maybe our third in a row. I like where your head's at. That's great. I mean, it is unfortunate that the building of a new stadium for the Bears will mean that Chicago will get a Super Bowl. That will happen. But yeah. All the more reason for the Packers to go and win the Super Bowl when it's being hosted in Chicago. That would be amazing. Mike Witt, what's up? I want to see Banky on the beat for 1 week just to hear the questions. Ain't nobody ready for that. Nobody's ready for any of that. I will say, speaking of Banky, though, Packer Transplants Live returns this Wednesday, 4:00 Central Time, 5:00 Eastern, here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Can't wait. Ready to get all the hot takes from Corey Banky on your Green Bay Packers heading into the 2025 season. Isaiah, you are not wrong, sir. O-line depth is a great thing. We all saw what happened as soon as Elgton Jenkins left with injury in the playoff game. That shit was pretty awful. It was pretty terrible. I think that's something that is kind of probably played somewhat in the back of Brian's mind all offseason, right? I mean, the most disappointing aspect of that was they legit had taken an offensive lineman in the first round last year, who of course wasn't able to finish the season, deal with that shoulder injury all year. And then to have Elton go down and see that kind of domino effect and no one really being able to step in and kind of raise their game, so to speak. I don't doubt that, you know, played a part in, you know, trying to pay Aaron Banks big money to shore up the interior, and you got Morgan coming back and John Williams, who knows, you know, that's kind of a redshirt year at this point, but I think the offseason was certainly, you know, it wasn't lost on the higher ups in Green Bay that they had an issue. They had a real issue they had to kind of shore up. Chad, I'm going to assume you're kidding, but if you're not, I don't really think you know what you're talking about. But I love talking to Justice, and I know he may not be everybody's cup of tea, but I absolutely love it. Every conversation I have with him, that kid knows ball way more than most. Let's see what else we got here, folks. Josh, thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. With the latest trade for Kennard, does it spell tough news for Monk? In my opinion, he's looked rough this preseason. Cheesehead TV polo needed. I'm working on it. Yes, as I said at the top of the stream, I think it's probably a tough day for both Monk and Donovan Jennings. Now, we'll see over the next 24 hours or so how they juggle the back end of their roster. But I got to think, I'm with you. I think Monk's had a very disappointing summer. Really had hoped he would take that kind of step forward to at least solidify himself, you know, as a viable alternative or a, you know, somebody you could turn to in case there is an emergency in a playoff game, etc. Man, it certainly has not materialized in any real way. And now he's hurt. He has a hamstring injury. So I think IR is a possibility. And yes, I think there's a direct line there when you talk about bringing in a guy like Kennard, no doubt about it. Joe, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Any Packers Goop might use as trade bait tomorrow? Well, obviously, if you listen to the internet, it's Romeo Doubs. I'm kidding. No, it's not going to be Doubs. I don't see it. It's normally not how they operate. They are very much, as you know, and he's a little more flexible than Ted was, but they like their guys. They like bringing them through their program, through the entirety of the offseason, into the regular season, and getting them to grow and develop together as a cohesive unit throughout the season. That said, you know, if I had to pick somebody, if you said, you know, Aaron, you got to choose one, I would say Enagbare is a possibility, especially with Brenton Cox Jr. on the come up, so to speak. I think that's a possibility, a guy with 1 year left on his deal. Maybe someone needs some pass rush help. Maybe. Right. But again, that's a 2.113% chance. Let's put it that way. I'd be surprised. Matt, what's up, man? Do they need to make more O-line moves? Beyond their starting five, hardly anyone has played meaningful snaps, and seems like half their starters are banged up. Matt, unfortunately, that's kind of just being in the NFL. I think they're probably in a better spot than a lot of teams. And that becomes the issue, right? When you're trying to maybe cast about and make a trade or two or find some guys on the waiver wire. Man, it ain't like there's tons of teams with a bunch of guys just sitting on the bench that they're going to gladly get rid of, right? I think it's possible they look on the waiver wire, but I would think probably that with the Kennard edition, that's probably where it'll end. But never know who, like I said, the pro personnel group has their eye on. Maybe there's somebody, a deep reserve who hasn't played that they liked in the draft, something like that. But yeah, man, like I said, I think the Packers are in a better spot than not all teams, I don't know about most teams, but there are a bunch of teams who are probably envious of the depth and talent that the Packers have, regardless of the fact that they just traded for someone. It's offensive line is rough out there, man. Matty Day, what's up, man? Will the Brewers turn things around tonight? Sorry, wrong show. No, this is the right show. We'll talk about the Brewers here. Man, last night was rough. Man, you have all that goodwill and that pageantry for Uke, and then to have McGill blow another save? Oh, I will say, I was actually, funnily enough, Maddie, I was talking to Ben in Motel Men this morning. We have a daily kind of, you know, meeting in the morning where we just kind of touch base, and we were talking about it. And I said, you know what it feels like? It feels like this team, and we hear this a lot, like whether it's BA on the call or Levering on the radio or whatever, we keep hearing the reference to 19 games in 18 days or whatever it was, right? I can't remember exactly, but it's been a ton of baseball that they've had to play. And they've had, like, you know, Chirio's been down, but you had Terang had to miss a game, you know, Ortiz is out now. Like, they've played a lot of games in the span of the last kind of 3-4 weeks. This team just looks like they need a break. And I know one's not coming. Like, this is the stretch run, right? But, man, they need a day off, I would say, more than anything else. But all that said, they're going to win tonight. Come on now. Start a new streak. Let's go. Connie, it's an excellent question. Is Hardman in or out? We will find out for sure tomorrow. I suspect he's out. I would have thought they'd probably need to see a lot more from him as a returner to justify a roster spot. But we'll see. Maybe they go heavy there. Maybe they keep, you know, one more than we're all thinking they would. But, yeah, given what he did this summer, I would suspect he's out. But we'll see. Maybe they do cut him and then bring him back so after week one so they don't have to guarantee his salary or something like that. That's possible. Duncan, what's up, man? Do you think Hopper's growth has Goot hesitating on Quay's extension? I don't. I don't think one has much to do with the other, but I also think it's interesting that Gutekunst has several times, including here on Cheesehead TV, talked about with assurance how Quay is part of their long-term plan and they certainly want to lock him up. What does that look like? Well, no one really knows. And to your point, yeah, Hopper certainly looked much, much better this year, this summer. But I suspect, you know, I take Goody at his word here, though. Never forget when he was asked if Aaron Jones was going to be on the team next year. He said, absolutely, a couple months prior to cutting him. So you always watch what they do and not listen to what they say in that regard. But yeah, I would think that an extension with Quay will probably be forthcoming at some point during the season, if not like right on the kind of eve of the season. But I wouldn't think that, you know, as well as Hopper has played this preseason, he's still, you know, very green, has very minimal, at least especially from scrimmage, time on the grass, so to speak, in the league. I wouldn't think you'd just say, oh, well, this player who I was touting as a core member of our defense now suddenly is expendable because this kid has had a really good camp. That just feels like it would be a pretty significant shift. Do I think the Packers will pick you? No. No, I do not. In fact, they've had plenty of opportunities to pick me and haven't. Do with that information as you will. Menace, what's up, man? Thanks for checking out the stream. I know the O-line depth, cornerback depth, and wide receiver health has been at the top of everyone's news, but our lack of one decent returner who's not our starting cornerback is borderline malfeasance coming into the season. Well, he won't be our starting corner. It'll be a starting wide receiver. It'll probably be Jaden Reed again. Man, but at the same time, Menace, I mean, it's not like they stood pat. I mean, you talk about kick returners. Savion Williams could probably kick return if you could ever stay on the freaking field. That's someone they drafted who has return ability, right? Golden's done it in the past. Now, I don't think you want him out there doing it, but they drafted him with return experience. And, you know, they signed Hardman clearly to be their punt returner. Now, maybe he still is. Who knows? But, I can't sit here and say they didn't try to do something this offseason to fix the returner stuff, you know? Now, no one's really grabbed it. Certainly, Hardman hasn't looked to be what you probably hoped he would, but I don't think it's for a lack of trying, right? And as far as who's going to be... the Facebook thing just died. Interesting. Question of who's going to be the returner, it'll probably be Jaden Reed again if he's healthy, if Hardman's not on the team. And if Hardman's on the team, he'll probably be the returner. Again, I have a hard time, like, killing him for that. Uncultured Barbarian, how are you, man? Haven't seen you in a while. Today's jams are Confidence Man by Jeff Healey, Blue Moon by the Marcells, and the unbelievably catchy ska cover of Copacabana by Seven Mines. Got to admit, haven't heard the Seven Mines cover, so I'll have to check that out. Good to see you back, brother. Thank you so much, man. Soder, here we go. Here we go. If Reed is back there in 2025, I may need to scope out a bridge to fling myself from. Come on. Where's the confidence, Soder? I very much hear you. Trust me. Are the Pack back? You better believe the Pack are back for the, you know, foreseeable future until they suffer a loss and everyone's ready to write them off. And then I have to sit here and say, you know, there's a lot of ball game, a lot of season left, and everyone hates on me because I'm positive and like, oh, you should be a miserable person like us, like blah, blah, blah. But for the meantime, the time being, yes, the Pack are back. How's that? All right, everybody, I gotta get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.